the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder. And
we have the golf outing coming up. And I don't know anything about golf, but I do know how to operate a golf court. I should say Shenner knows how to operate a golf cart.
There's some question about that, about your operation
but that's fun. And that's coming up just in a couple weeks now. I mean,
May 12th.
So pray for good weather, I guess. That's the thing we have to do.
Great event. We still need some more foursomes. If you can round up four people to play golf, great day. It's going to begin, I have to check our website for all the details, but going to begin sometime around noon with around 11 o'clock, I think, with Mass, a quick lunch, get you out on the golf course.
It's a fun day.
Back in for dinner.
Yeah, it really is a great day. I of course, I like the golf cart because everybody loves to see you. Who doesn't like someone going around with beer and snacks and water and blah, blah, blah? So when I drive up, it's kind of like being a doctor, I guess. John, our guest today, it's kind of like you. Everybody loves seeing you, right?
I'm not sure they love seeing me.
Okay, our guest today on Faith in Action, Dr. John Lucia. And listeners, if you are a faithful listener to Faith in Action, this isn't the first time he's been here. Actually, he was here a couple months ago for the, you went to the march in Washington, D.C. with a bunch of kids. Right.
That's right. Yeah. The March for Life with the high school students from the North Deanery.
Yeah, that was very memorable. I enjoyed that a lot. Not the march, but you're being here as a guest with those kids. It was great to hear their experiences. So, Dr. Lucia, tell us a little bit about you. So, where do you hail from? Tell us a little bit about your family, what parish you belong to.
Well, right now I'm a member of St. Simon's Parish. I have six children. Two of them are still at St. Simon. Two of them are cathedral. And one of them just graduated from IU, is up in Chicago now. The other one's still at IU.
Oh, dear.
Off the payroll.
One off the payroll, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a nephrologist in town, which is a kidney specialist, and I went to IU School of Medicine, but I'm originally from Illinois, up in the suburbs west of Chicago.
Oh, interesting. Originally from Illinois. I didn't know that. Learn something new every day. Okay, so you're here today because I want to talk about your trip to Haiti, and you've made many trips to Haiti, most recently a medical mission trip. But first, I want you to explain one thing, Dr. John. You didn't go through St. Simon. You went through a different parish. So tell us what parish and why you went through that parish.
Well, I went with St. Thomas Aquinas in Lafayette. They've had a twin parish in Bodan, Haiti for probably more than 25 years, and medical missions probably for the last 20 or more.
Oh, my.
After the earthquake in 2010, I saw the news clips. I said, maybe I'm supposed to go to Haiti, because people had been asking me about it a couple of times in the month before the earthquake, and then it was all over the news. I said, I think I'm getting a little bit of a hint here. And so I couldn't go right away, and one of the residents at the hospital went and gave them my name, and I ended up going in April about 4 months later.
St. Thomas Aquinas, though.
Through St. Thomas Aquinas. So they called me because he gave them my name.
And Lafayette, we're talking Westlake, that's near Purdue.
Yeah, right? this is the parish on the Purdue campus. So this is the Catholic Center for the University as well.
Oh, okay. All right. So most of the doctors that you go with, are they from Lafayette? Are they from around here or what?
No, actually, none of them are from that parish. One of them's another St. Simon parishioner.
Okay.
Another one's grew up in Lafayette. He lives in Fort Wayne. And then another one was just a friend of ours, or whoever happens to go that year. This year it was three of us that were friends, plus the guy from Lafayette that we know pretty well now.
How big a group overall did you go with?
I think there were nine people on the trip. Then when we get to Port-au-Prince, we pick up the interpreters we need, because none of us are fluent in Creole enough to at least understand medical problems and the nuances of them. And so,
okay, so it being a medical mission, is it safe to assume that everybody was a doctor or a nurse or med tech or something like that?
There were four physicians. There were a couple of nurses. Some people had some medical background, but even if you don't, there are things you can do to help.
Okay.
So people who have nursing experience can do things like check blood glucose levels and blood pressures. And some of them become providers if we're shorthanded, and they can actually take care of the patients directly and find out their needs. Other people work in the pharmacy, sorting prescriptions, filling bottles with pills in the number they need.
Okay, so help us understand. I've heard that in St. Simon's, your home parish, does also have a medical mission to Haiti. I think they just finished their second one, my second or third trip. But so help us understand. I understand that a lot of attention was focused on Haiti after the 2010 earthquake. That was devastating. They've had a number of devastating weather events that have gone through Haiti. But do they not have a medical health system in place? Do they not have clinics, hospitals, doctors? Are they just hard to get to? Help us understand what the need is there.
There are a lot of organizations that have hospitals there, like Doctors Without Borders has some different hospitals throughout Port-au-Prince. There's a couple of Catholic and other Christian denominations that have opened hospitals in different places. But travel in Haiti is not that easy. Most people don't have a car. Most of the roads are not that hospitable to travel, and most people walk, outside of Port-au-Prince at least. And so to get to some of the clinics is difficult. There's also a national hospital and a national health system, but it's not very elaborate. For instance, we had a patient that we sent to the national hospital, and when we went to visit her on our way out of town, in order to get a blood test, the family had to buy the tube that the blood went in,
and the needles
and the gloves, and then they had to bring them back for the doctors to do the blood draw. Then the family again had to take the blood to the lab, pay the lab up front, and then bring the results back. And this person,
oh my goodness,
yeah. So it's totally different than what you would expect when you go to a hospital in the United States.
You know, John, Dr. Lucia, our guest today on Faith in Action, talking about his recent trip to Haiti, you reminded me of a memory I had from when I was 18 years old and I spent 6 months in South America. And one day, and I only got this tap on the door because I was American, but one day, a local woman came with her 7-year-old daughter and knocked on our front door. We lived in a nice area of Valencia, Venezuela. And she had a syringe filled with medicine that she had purchased at a pharmacy, and it had to be given to her daughter. And since I was American, in her mind, that qualified me as able to administer this shot. I was never more, it's a good thing I didn't know much about, I knew nothing about birth and no babies, but I didn't know anything about it. I mean, I knew later, I could have hit something wrong and done some serious damage, but I was so shocked that a pharmacy would simply give a syringe and say, here, administer the shot yourself or the medicine yourself. But you're making it sound like those kind of conditions are still present in 2015 Haiti.
I think if you have the money, you can buy whatever you need.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. But most of the people don't have access to anything. They live in a mountain village, and they can't get to anywhere, or there's no one who comes up there on a regular basis.
Okay, so you basically land, and you're there for a week. And I'm guessing that word is put out way before you guys come that, hey, they're going to be doctors and nurses who can provide care. What kind of care do you provide, and how many patients do you see?
We do just whatever comes in the door. Most of it's primary care for things that you wouldn't expect you need to see a doctor for in America: headaches, arthritis, to get some pain medicine like Tylenol or ibuprofen. They don't go to the store to buy it. They wait for it to be delivered to us. Plus, they have concerns. Is this something worse than just a headache, or is there something more? But other things that come in, you'd never see in America.
Like?
Or if you did, it would be neglected tumors that have been there for 3 or 4 years and they finally had a chance to see a doctor, or there was one person who was 19 years old, but he was only about the size of a 7-year-old. I think he had probably a pituitary problem and no growth hormone. He was cognitively normal. He was smart like everyone else in his family. He just didn't grow. Would be something in America you would pick it up early on in childhood, see that he wasn't growing in adolescence, and he'd get growth hormone, and he would be, you know, normal height or close to it by the end, not there.
So I'm wondering if if you don't see cases that, since you're only there for a week, that you think these people need so much more than I can give them right now. Do you run into that, John? I mean, do you run into, or do you just have the mindset, I'm here for a week, I'll get as much as I can done in a week, and I mean, how do you go into this?
It's a little of both. You say, well, what can I take care of, and what can I not take care of? And it's always a struggle to try to find some referral for them to, if they need a surgical procedure or if they need an expert. There was a man with a surgically repaired hip after a motorcycle accident, and it was infected. We saw him this year, and it was still draining. It was last year that we saw him the first time, put him on antibiotics.
Oh, dear.
But he needed surgical treatment for that infection, and he couldn't get it. So.
Sure. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Dr. John Lucia, we're talking about his recent trip to Haiti. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Seminarian Chris Trumer talks about the influence of Catholic radio.
Well, my parents, it was pretty much that, and a contemporary Christian music station was all that was ever on in our house. And so more and more I'd hear different speakers and different authors and priests and people, and I would, more and more, it kept creeping in until I found myself like wanting to hear it or wanting to tune into certain shows or certain people.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Dr. John Lucia. He's from St. Simon Parish, although he went to Haiti with St. Thomas Aquinas. Say that 3 times fast, Jim. St. Thomas Aquinas in Lafayette. And we were talking a little bit about the medical mission that you got back from recently. Now, you mentioned surgery, that he might have needed surgery. Do you ever do surgery in the week that you see patients? Or is this business? I mean, talk to me. Tell me.
I'm not a surgeon.
Okay.
Fortunately, one of the family medicine doctor, Sean Brennan, who's from Fort Wayne, he does some small surgeries. He'll remove lipomas and do other things. And one of the other doctors we go with is Len Bielski, who's an emergency room physician. So they do a little more of the surgical stuff, but all of it minor. If we need a real surgery, we try to find someone either in Port-au-Prince or in the other city nearby, Jacmel, or the Doctors Without Borders that we could refer them to. After a few years, we maybe have some surgical referral that we can do with doctors who come in from the United States at a different time, and we just give the names to someone who can coordinate that.
Now,
but it's difficult.
What sort of a facility are you working out of? When anyone in this country goes to the doctor's office, nice clean waiting room, restrooms, you know, that antiseptic smell, whatever that is. What sort of a facility are you working in there?
Most of what we do is centered out of a parish. So there's a church and a school is associated with that. And actually at this parish, they have a dental clinic that a dentist from Illinois over the past 25 years has built himself with his money. And then there's a clinic building made of concrete and cinder block that we use. And it has, I think, 2 exam rooms, but most of us are in the same room at the same time. Since there are 4 doctors, 2 of us stayed in Bodan, the main town, and then there are smaller chapels associated with the parish that are out 40-minute walk or 2-hour walk away from the main church, and the doctors in that group, they were called the away group, they would work in whatever chapel, sitting on whatever chair they had, you know, and whatever facilities they could use.
Now, when you weren't doctoring over there, what did you do for fun in the evenings?
Well,
wait a second. Let's back up a little bit. For fun in the evenings, which brings us to the point. You need to help us visualize exactly the situation and circumstances, because we were talking a little bit off air, and I think that we can't wrap our head around visually the kind of niceties that we enjoy here at home and take for granted, but that they don't have in Haiti. So So yeah, you've got a mouthful to answer there. So help us to understand really what kind of habitat and lifestyle these people are enjoying.
In Port-au-Prince, which is the capital, which is where the airport is, there is some city power or national power grid, but it isn't always on. It's almost not on most of the time. So during the daytime, there might be electricity from a generator. There might be the electricity from the national system, but there might be no electricity at all at the time. And so sunlight's fine. When the sun goes down, you know, maybe you have solar panels or generator, depending on where you stay or who you're associated with. The streetlights are all solar panel battery operated. So the streetlights on only the biggest streets operate, and they operate at night. If you get outside of the capital city, things change. So the church might have the generator, which they do, and solar panels. But if you don't have that, or you privately don't have your own solar panels and battery, when the sun goes down, there's no electricity, there's no lights. Oh. And you may, if you don't start a fire, which is hard to do because wood's not a plentiful resource, it's an expensive commodity, then that's time to go to bed. So they have it, you know, sun up at 6 a.m., sundown 6 p.m., and some people would complain in the clinic. The patients would say, well, I don't sleep well. Well, that's because they go to bed at 7 and they expect to sleep through until sunrise, and 12 hours of sleep might be great once in a while. Most people don't do that. So there isn't much to do at night if you don't have electricity.
Now, are there
restaurants and theaters in the capital and that sort of thing? Or
there are, and some of the interpreters knew some good places to go, and some of them had families that ran restaurants. So there's all nightlife. It just depends what part of the capital you're in and whether they have their own access to power most of the time.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about, you've been to Haiti how many times now? Four times in the last 6 years. Okay, so I'm imagining, but tell us, that you've got stories that stay in your mind from one trip to the other. And I imagine that you probably have seen maybe the same patient two or three times. Have you? Is that the case?
Yeah, some of them are very familiar. I can tell you exactly who they are and their names. But I met them the first trip or the second trip I made. Now, 5 or 6 years later, they come back in and I recognize them. I know what their problems are. There's actually one girl in the town who had a genetic heart defect, and the people in the on the team brought her back to the United States, to St. Vincent.
Oh, my.
And at Peyton Manning, she had cardiac surgery. She's come back every year I've been there, and she's over 6 feet tall.
Oh,
so
my
this
goodness.
Person who had a cardiac defect that probably would have been a shortened lifespan is one of the healthiest people in the town.
Oh, my goodness. So it's stories like that. I would imagine it's things like that that give you hope and encouragement to keep going back. Because you have to have stories that are disappointing and disheartening, or that you see people that you really can't help very much, and that you're just giving them Band-Aid type, you know, care.
In some of the cases, that's right. There was the first trip I made, there was a girl with HIV. She had AIDS and hadn't had her antiviral treatment yet, and we kind of recommended that she go down to do that. She had infections, thrush, and a skin cellulitis at the time. And we got her antibiotics. When the dental team came to the same parish, they gave her some more antibiotics at that time. And she got through it. And this time she came in again, only she was sicker. She'd been doing well for a few years. This time she came in with a liver disease and jaundice. And we sent her down to the capital because there was nothing we could do for her.
Now, how much need is there in Haiti? I mean, if 10 more doctors went, or 100 more doctors went, or 1,000 more doctors did what you do, Would that solve the problem?
I don't know. I don't know if there's enough doctors to go, because in America we have access to care problems,
right.
Or at least that's a political discussion of whether, sure, you know, the access to care here is fair. And in Haiti, there's a fraction of that. Most people see a doctor maybe once a year or twice a year, if they're lucky in their parish or their area has a clinic.
Now, John, what do you do about the people who come through your door and have that you would treat here in the United States and have a pretty simple problem, like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart, and you give them some pills, you know, here, and they can take those pills and have a Q of L maybe extended a little bit, better quality of life. Do they have access to medication like we do, or can you get it to them? Or sometimes you run across people that, goodness, if we could just get them the kind of medication that we have available to us in the States, you could really help them.
One example of that would be high blood pressure, because I see people in America once in a while with blood pressures over 200. And I would say in one day of clinic, I see 10 or 15 in Haiti who have blood pressures over 200. Now, we would treat that, but we can't just do drop and treat them for a couple of months with the medicines till they run out. So the parish, you know, St. Thomas, set up a program to get them year-round medications, and trying to find someone who can monitor that and get blood pressures on people every month or every 2 months to see how they're doing and keep them in a supply of medicines is always an ongoing problem, because you have to find people who are willing to do it in a remote rural area and want to stay in the town, and you have to have someone with training. Well, if you have training in that, you probably make more money in Port-au-Prince. So it's always a struggle to get someone who buys into it.
Now, John, you mentioned twin parishes and things like that. Are most of those parishes Catholic, and how important are those twin parishes in Haiti to getting medical services to people?
There are other Christian groups that I see, and there are some other non-religious groups like Doctors Without Borders that I see there. But most of what I run across, and it probably is just the circle I'm operating in, are the Catholic parishes that have twins. And most of the ones around Indianapolis have some affiliation with a parish in Haiti. I would say a big part of the American twinning program is Indiana.
It is. It really is very popular on Faith in Action. We've had several guests who have either started or wanted to start twinning parishes or been a part of twinning parishes, which is a wonderful initiative. It just seems like it's a drop in the bucket to what they need. I mean, we can only do so much. Our guest today on Faith in Action is Dr. John Lucia, who's been on several medical mission trips to Haiti. You look like you're about ready to say something. I know that we only have a couple minutes left, but John, it seems to me that they need so much more than we can give them. I wonder if medical mission has ever gone down there and someone has decided we need to set up a permanent plant here for them instead of once a year.
There are some hospitals. I think Our Lady of Mount Carmel has a hospital set up permanently year round. And there are other parishes I've talked to from across the United States. When I'm in Haiti, I run into these people. Their parish decided to do it that way. But when you see the need, it can be overwhelming to see the misery and the suffering.
Sure.
It can be overwhelming, but everyone can make a difference to the person across from them at the time they're there. So what can you do against it? Do what you can. You know, one person at a time is where you start in medicine. That's what they told me in my first lecture in medical school. Treat the person in front of you. Don't worry about the big problem, and then move on from there. And I think that's the same that applies in any situation to whatever suffering you see.
I think that's good advice. We just have a little over a minute left. It goes so quickly, always does. Dr. John Lucia, our guest today on Faith in Action, he had a medical mission, went on a medical mission through St. Thomas Aquinas in Lafayette to Haiti recently. I'm going to cede the last minute to you. What would you like our listeners to know that they don't know about Haiti?
I think that anyone can go there and help. Whatever your talent is, there might be some way to use it, or a talent you don't even know you have. But there are always opportunities to go, and if you have even the slightest inclination that you want to do that or go anywhere else, take advantage of it. You won't forget it. You won't regret it, and you should do it.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you for using your talents and abilities to help God's people who need it so desperately. Again, thank you for being our guest today, Dr. John Lucia, from St. Simon Parish, but on a medical mission from St. Thomas Aquinas in Lafayette. God bless you, and may the Lord's peace be with you.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marion University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you.